can really be a time of new beginning. It will not necessarily, just the fact that school's out does not mean that suddenly your life will be changed. But one of the things I've noticed in my own life, there are times when you move from one location to another, or you move from one task to another, or from school back home, it can be a tremendous time. If you want it to be a time of change, it really can be. There's no better time to change than when you realize you need it and when you're moving from one situation to another. Because when you move from one location to another, if you determine that you want to start some things new, it really can be helpful to you. I know when I came to OU, I moved in on Saturday, joined the church on Sunday, and determined that I'd be in the dorms witnessing on Monday night. And that's where I was, because I knew that if I was going to get out in evangelism, I had to get started. Well, just by making that little decision as to where I would be the first night I was on this campus really helped me to get started, I think, in the right way. If you will make some decisions as to what you're planning to do this summer before you ever arrive there so you can get started off right, it will really be helpful. If you wait until you get home to decide how you're going to use your summer, I would predict for you a miserable failure, because when you get home, things are going to be happening, and you need to make some decisions before you ever arrive at that point. I know one girl who does not live in this state, but she's finishing finals at a certain time, and she's waiting a few days before she goes home. Now, she could go out to the airport and get her ticket changed, but she's not doing that. She wants a little time after she finishes finals to get her goals and priorities established for the summer before she ever gets home. And I think as a result of that, this girl has a far greater chance of living in victory than most of the students I know. And I think if you can get some time after you finish finals, if it's at all possible, to sit down and think through and do some planning. You know, right now you're facing a test, too, as to what your summer will be like. And so perhaps this may be one of the most important tests you face. And it may be just as important as some of the courses that you're cramming for in the morning, for a test or something. And so I would say to you, this can be a great time for you. Some of you are going home. You're going back to past failures. You go back to where you, when you left, you were fussing and arguing and griping with your brothers and sisters. Your mom got on your nerves. It seemed like she was always on your back about something, or at least this is the way you felt. And now you've come away, and some of you have even become Christians, and you're all excited. Well, you know what's going to happen? When you walk in and set your suitcase down, Mom's going to say, pick it up and put it in your room. And maybe it won't be quite that brunt. But the thing you're going to find is you're going right back to the old areas, and where perhaps in times gone by you have lived in defeat. And God wants things to be different in your life. And as a result of your own personal growth and things that you've learned, it can be different. But I want you to know that Mom and Dad have not been experiencing probably what you've been experiencing this month in school. And you know, I used to go away at retreats, and I'd be at school, and boy, I would be so excited, and I learned so many things. And I'd go home, and I find that Dad and Mom, their routine of life was basically just like it was when I got there the year before. And I'm not saying that critically. I'm saying that they did not have the privileges I've had. And let me assure you this, God's primarily calling for you this summer is not to go home and straighten out your mom and dad. God may use you in their life, but the primary way I think he'll do this will be through the way you live. And Mom, if don't roar in the first day, sit up on your suitcase and tell her how God has changed your life. She will well figure that out by the way you leave the bed the next morning, the way you clean out the lavatory, and where you leave your shoes, and if you make up your bed. And one of the things I would stress with you is when you go home, if God has done something in your life, go home this summer to live a Christian life before your parents and before your friends, before your family. Now, there's some areas tonight I want us to talk about, and we'll come back to talk about some of the problems. The first thing I think you ought to be concerned about is your own relationship to God. And let me just mention a few areas that I think you ought to set some goals in. One, what will be your goal concerning your relationship to the Word of God? Do you have a goal concerning the Bible? And I'm thinking here in terms of Bible reading, Bible study, scripture memory, meditation, these things that will help you in your relationship to God. Now, the authority of our lives, if we're going to live as Christians, is the Word of God. And this is the most helpful thing as far as your relationship to God is concerned, is your relationship tonight. But this is an area in which I think you ought to set some goals. What is your goal concerning scripture memory? You know, I'm always amazed at college students, and I've lived long enough to know that what I do in scripture memory does not necessarily depend upon the amount of time I have. Like some of you, you begin to read the Bible, and you're so hungry for it, and you've got to study for this test. And you think, oh, I wish I could just sit and read the Bible. I had all this time in the evening to read the Bible. Well, you know what? Some of you are going to have a lot more of it in about 2 weeks. Because you'll be at home, you'll go to work during the day, you will have some social responsibilities concerning your family, but probably 3 weeks from right tonight, if you wanted to study the Bible, you could. You really could. And one of the things that I think helped to change the course of my life, I know it did, and I would not be here tonight, probably had this event not happened. During my junior year, I was traveling to college campuses sharing in the area of witnessing, because this is something that God had been dealing with me about, and I was invited to many of the BSUs. So during the spring of my junior year, I dropped out of school. Our BSU director and others met, and we felt like it was really of the Lord. And we went to BSUs to speak. And that summer, after having traveled and spoken and seen students saved, I came back wondering, God, why is it that we really don't witness people in the BSUs and places I go, and they're not really witnessing as they should? And one of the things God impressed upon my heart was, well, you ought to find out. And so I set aside that summer 6 nights a week, and I would not say this for an example for you. I've never done it since. I may never do it again. But I set aside 6 nights a week for Bible study that summer. And that summer, I went to church on Sunday night, and I had 6 nights a week that unless something else happened, I was at home studying the Bible. I had one other fellow that I'd meet with on occasion, and unless something unusual happened, that's the way I started my night, 6 nights a week, just reading the Bible. I didn't know much about Bible study. I just started reading it. And over a period of time, as I did that summer, and it was not that I studied 6 nights a week. Sometimes things would come up, but at least that was my goal. And I spent more time reading the Bible that summer than I'd ever studied in my life. And God tremendously used it to give me a ministry the next year when I got back to school. The thing I would share with you at this point is if you will set aside some time to read the Bible, you can do that. And I think you ought to set some goals concerning your scripture memory. What will you do in that area? You say, boy, I wish I had time to memorize more verses. Okay, you're fixing to have it. But will you take it? Like, look back Christmas holidays. Did you get more time in the Word than you're getting now? See, probably some of you didn't. And yet you tell yourself day after day, boy, if I had the time, I'd take it. But would you? I have a little statement I keep in the front of my Bible. And it's a convicting statement. It says this, a lack of the study of the Scriptures is not for a lack of time, it's for a lack of heart. And I believe that's true. The lack of the study of the Scriptures is not for a lack of time, but for a lack of heart. Okay? You can deal with that. You can tell God, God, the reason I don't study is because really I have to face it. I don't have the heart, and time can be a real problem. It really can be. You haven't had as much time as you would like. But if you'll go home this summer and get some goals in relationship to the Word, I will have a quiet time. My goal is to have a quiet time every morning before I go to work. I will have a goal to read, so much each day in the Word. I will do the Bible study that's given out tonight. I will do that every week. I will memorize so many verses. For some of you, to step up the pace of your scripture memory, maybe to a verse a day, or 5 verses a week. Maybe others of you would be 3 verses a week. But this summer can be a valuable time for you. Some of you may have jobs in which it does not require the full concentration of your mind. If so, that would be an excellent time to review and to meditate on the Scriptures. But have some goals concerning the Word of God. I'd say have some goals concerning prayer. Some definite set aside time to pray. You know, I run into people, they say, well, if you ask them, when do you pray? said, well, I try to pray through the day. I try to pray. Well, fine. But when really do you pray? And I've noticed through the years that people who do not usually have a time to pray do not usually do very much praying on the hoof, so to speak, as you're going along through the day. And if you'll have a time in which you give some time to prayer, then I think as you go along through the day, you'll also do some praying. But if it's worth anything, it's worth setting aside some time for. Andrew Murray said in one of his books I read, that which is heaviest must weigh heaviest. In other words, that which is most important should have first place. And I think praying to God should be worth your setting some time aside to do, to have a prayer list and give some time to prayer each day. Another area I think you ought to consider is your ministry to your family. One of the dangers you face is, and incidentally, if some of you have the time or if you want to this summer, we have a tape in the library called The Use of Summer, which Bob Anderson here did when he was a student here about 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And it's a tremendous a message. And one of the things he mentions on this tape is that when we go home as kind of the conquering hero. You know, the big boy or the big girl who's been away at the university is back home. And we just want to move in and everybody just step out of the way and serve me. And, you know, I'll expect supper at a certain time. And I, you know, your hero is now home. And this does not really lend to the ministry with your family. You know, when they, your mom and dad have been helpful, they've been trying to provide the funds and helping you and go to school, and then when you come home with the idea, well, I'm home and I'm here for a vacation. It's vacation time at our house, and I'm the one that's on vacation. So I would really like to see you serve me during this time. Let me give you a verse. And jot this down. Mark 10:45. And it says that Jesus did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And Jesus Christ came to minister. When you go home this summer, I think the attitude you ought to go with is, I am going to try to have a ministry to my family. You know, one of the things I think when you get home, you ought to express appreciation to your family for what they've done for you while I've been in school. I remember in college going down to a boy's room one night, and he said, well, I just finished my letter to my mom. That's it for the semester. And he wrote her, you know, once a semester. And he thought that was real cute. And you know, I'm sure the day will come in which he'll stand down and look in a casket and not be a real thrill that he wrote his mom once a semester. And I would say to you, when you get home this summer, be a part of the family and be a working part of it. Families just operate better that way. And when you get home, do not take the attitude, I'm here to be served all summer, but express appreciation to them for what they've done for you and try to be a servant to them. And try to see how easy you can make it on your mom as far as helping with the dishes, your dad, mowing the lawn, things like this. You might say, well, I'll be working in the summer. Well, what does he do 40 hours a week ever since the day you've been born? And see, one of the problems we have, we come home and say, well, I work all day, and there's a lawn that needs to be mowed. Well, who mows it when you're not there? Well, Dad does. So come home this summer with the attitude, I want to be to my family what I really should be, and I want to be to them spiritually what I could be. Some of you that have been to the Bill Gothard seminar know this, that usually the people that come to seminar are people that have more of a religious inclination as the firstborn in the family. And one of the reasons for that is once one older brother or sister gets turned on to the Lord, most of the other people in the house get turned off to the Lord. Because once you get turned off, you have an amazing way of turning them off because of our attitude towards them. We go home, we're interested in the things of the Lord. You know, beat it, I'm having my quiet time. Well, see, that does not go over well with the little brothers and sisters in the house. And it's really true that there'll probably be some of your brothers and sisters who may never, as long as they live, walk with God if you walk with them. Because of the way when you go home, you have a tendency to really turn them off. I'm not discouraging from you from walking with the Lord, but to go home this summer and be careful in your relationships with them. Try to love them and help them and get involved in their lives and try to make one of your primary ministries this summer your ministry to your own family. I'd encourage you to pick out a ministry to others also. There may be someone, I remember going home one summer and beginning to pray, God, is there someone in my hometown I can help this summer? And I could picture a boy who always sang in the choir at our home church. And, you know, I didn't sing in the choir. He was in the band, and at our town you either played football or you were in the band, and the two didn't get together too often. And I just, you know, thought, he's just a big sissy. That's what he is. And that was my attitude, and I wasn't proud of it, but it was a fact. But I began to pray, and every time I'd pray, I think, God, who back in my hometown would really respond if I helped him? And every time I'd pray, I'd think of that guy that always was in the choir. So one night after church, I asked him, I said, say, could we go out and get something to drink? I asked him on Sunday mornings. I said, tonight after church, could we go out and maybe get something to drink and visit with you? And I began to share with him what had happened to me in college. The guy was as hungry as he could be. He's a director out in West Texas at this time. But the guy was hungry, and he was ready. And one of the real ministries I had that summer was in the life of that guy. We prayed together. We studied together. We shared together. He began to memorize verses, have a quiet time, began to witness. I was there when he led his first guy to the Lord, and God changed his life. And so go home praying that God would give you someone you could really help. And then I'd encourage you concerning your ministry in your church, a group of people. When you go home, one of the first things, if they know you're interested in the things of the Lord, you'll be asked probably to give some devotionals back in your home church. Take advantage of some of these. Now, I would not encourage you to teach Sunday school class, have training union, GAs, RAs, the whole thing. You know, be selective in what you do. But at the same time, don't go away back home like, man, I've arrived, I know more than all these people around here, and I just really can't get involved in your little deal. That's the best way I know of to turn people off. And you can go home and be a real encouragement to people in your own church. And I'd encourage you to go back and ask God to give you one area of responsibility in which you can get in and really help with the young people in a church or in some way. And then take some opportunities for devotionals and other things which you can do. I'd encourage you also to set some personal goals concerning your own personal growth. There may be some reading that you need to do. Some of you need to get on a jogging program. You need to, a number of things like this. Some things that could be helpful to you. I'd say some things that would help you as far as your own spiritual growth concerning a conference this summer. Now, tonight there'll be a booth back here. Some of you may want to sign up for Explo, which Campus Crusade is sponsoring in Dallas. The Gothard Conference meets in Dallas. And in the early August, Glorietta will meet in, will be a student conference towards the end of the summer. And I think this is one of the things that you might want to really give some thought to. Another thing I'd encourage you to do is have some goals financially. You know, Mom and Dad oftentimes have had to pretty much pay the bills for your education. I think to go home, to get a job. And incidentally, if any of you are planning to go home and lounge around this summer, I would highly discourage you from doing that. There may be rare situations if your health is broken or something that would be justified. But most of you, if you really want to get a job, you can probably find one. And you know, every year I hear people, well, we just can't get jobs. I know one girl in Tulsa last summer who had three or four and other girls couldn't find any. And I think if you really want one, you can. And you know, the Bible does have something to say. We thought it came from John Smith when the pilgrims came over and said, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. It did not come from John Smith. It came from 1 Thessalonians. And so I would encourage you, when you go home this summer, get a job and try to have some financial goals. Some of you really need to make some money in order to go to college. And I would encourage you to try to be saving with your money and help foot the bill for your education instead of just seeing how much your mom and dad's money you might do away with. And so have some goals financially. Some of you are out-of-state students. You need to make some money. I think it's perfectly fine in God's sight for you to have a goal to really make some money this summer. If you do, I certainly think God would lead you to give and to help try to meet the needs of some other people, but also to really save some money for your education. Let's talk for a minute about setting goals. I've mentioned some areas in which I think we ought to set goals. If I were to ask you one question tonight, what do you want to accomplish as a result of your summer? If you had to name one thing, what would it be? One thing that you desire more for your life this summer than any other thing. Now, you may have many goals. You may want to, make some money and a lot of other things. But if you had the one desire in your heart for the summer, what would it be? All right? Whatever that would be, I think that ought to be your goal for the summer. I think you ought to have one big overriding objective for the summer. It may be for some of you, you'd want to state it, and I wanted to, to develop a deeper walk with God. Others of you may feel like you're wrong with the Lord, but you need a deeper understanding of the Word. You want to really get into the Word this summer. But I think you ought to try to come up with one big overall objective which you have for your life for the summer. And then, once you have that objective clearly in mind, is what you want to accomplish, then make plans to try to meet it. Now, you will have many goals, as we mentioned. You'll have some goals concerning your family. You may want to say, one of the things I'm going to try to really do is get near my 14-year-old sister. I want to get some time with her and things like this. I want to really become a friend to her like I've never been before. Okay? See, that's a goal. Try to set one big overall objective, goal, and then try to break down goals along the areas we've talked about. Your relationship to God, the Word, prayer, your family, finances, your ministry to an individual, to a small group in a church or something like this. And so you set goals in each one of these areas. Find the areas in which you want to grow, you want something to happen, and then set some goals in those areas. And once you have a goal, then you can figure out, how will I get there? Like, I'd really like to become a friend to my little sister. Well, what do you just walk in one day and say, "Sister, let's be friends." And then, walk on out and do something else. That probably would not accomplish. Now, you've got clearly in mind your objective in that area. You want to be a friend, but that's probably... See, the objective is not the solution. That's where you're going, but you've got to figure out how to get there. All right? In that situation, one thing it's going to take is you're going to have to get some time with her. Well, when are you going to do it? Well, maybe you ought to plan on it. If it's that important to you, plan some time for it. And once I try to have my goal in mind, then I try to figure out how I'm going to get there. And once you do that, then it comes down to a time schedule. If my goal is to get into the Word of God this summer, really try to spend time in it, all right, that's my goal. I want to get to know God better through His Word. All right, how are you going to get there? Well, I'm going to study the Bible. Well, great. Now, when are you going to do it? Well, I'll set aside Monday night from 7 to 10 o'clock, and that'll be my time for Bible study. And see, this is what I mean. You get the goal, and once you set a goal, let me give you four things to remember. First, set the goal. Number two is make plans to accomplish that goal. Number three is set a timetable. When am I going to do it? This may be breaking it down. You want to become better acquainted with the Bible? Chapter a week. See, that's a timetable. And then number four is do it. 2 Corinthians 8:11 says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it." These people have been talking for a long time about what they were going to do, and Paul just wrote them and said, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will," in other words, you've had a will to do it, you've been talking about it, "so there may be also a performance out of that which you have." And another thing you might do there once you do it is have some kind of checkup on yourself to see how you're doing. Maybe that'd be a fifth thing, a checkup to see how you're doing. Here, you go home and say, "Man, I'm going to memorize a verse a day." Well, it might be good about the end of the first week to quote them to your little brother or somebody and see how you're doing. See, get some checkups on yourself so that you can see. Because if you don't watch out, especially when you first get home, you're tired and you think, "Well, I'm just going to relax the first week." And I remember one of the greatest defeats I've ever suffered in the area of scripture memory was after having memorized very consistently, never missing a day for 8 months, right before finals, I thought, "Well, I've got a lot to do. I'll knock off for as soon as finals are over, I'll pick back up." And I got home, I thought, man, I'm tired. I'm really tired. I think I will rest. You know, I'll knock off a week before I really get back on. And a week became 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks. And it was really hard to ever get any kind of consistency after that. And so you better watch out, you know, at this point. Now, let's talk just for a few minutes about some of the problems you might face. One is the old family conflicts, which we mentioned. There may be, you picked up some bad habits, and now you're trying to walk with the Lord. You really do not want to fuss with your mother anymore, and yet you've done that. You've talked back to her and things like this, and you know that you'll have another opportunity to do it this summer. And so you be real, real careful in this area. Really do some praying and ask God to help you in that area. Another thing we mentioned is this returning hero idea. And another thing will be when you get home, you'll be with many of your friends, your high school friends. And, you know, this one's home from this university and this one's over here. And so we're all going to get together. And you really can't have a blast all summer if you don't watch out. Because, see, most of the people, when you go home, they will not have the same objectives you have for the summer. So face up to that. And if you do not begin to chart the course of your life, then other people will chart it for you. And boy, this is going to be true the rest of your life. Almost every night I live, somebody's got something planned for me to do. And I have to decide, am I going to do what so-and-so planned over here or over here or over here? Or am I going to try to find out what God wants me to do and really do it? You know, I learned something from a layman recently that I think is a tremendous idea. When he gets so busy that he has a hard time getting things done he feels like God wants him to do, he writes down on a piece of paper everything he's doing, his basic areas of responsibility. And then he numbers them according to importance. He takes another sheet of paper and lists them in order. And then he takes a pair of scissors and he lops off the bottom four and throws them in the trash can. And that's the end of those four events. And he says, you know, you can do this if you're playing to God and not to people. If your objective this summer is, God, I want to do your will for me this summer, then the fact that you may not be on the church softball team, which takes two nights a week, plus church on Sunday night, plus church on Wednesday night, plus church on visitation night. See? And it may be that then people wonder, well, why don't you play? Well, I tell you why I don't play. Because it's two out of seven nights. That's the main reason. And I do not find that my overall objective is to be able to hit a fly ball further or, you know, catch better. That is not my primary objective for the summer. Now, to get some recreation is fine, but you better watch that one because that'll be one you'll face when you get home. All right? Does God want you to do it? You say, oh, I need exercise. I knew a fellow in seminary like that. He lifted weights 3 days a week, and he played two nights a week. And when I confronted him with him, he's always talking. Every time we get around and talk about Bible, he'd say, oh, I know, I'd really like to study. So one day I level with him concerning his playing softball two nights a week. I said, now don't tell me you do it for exercise. Because you don't. And that summer when he was working 8 hours a day, he got plenty of exercise. Plus he still lifted weights 3 days a week. So watch out for the way we deceive ourselves, our excuses. I've got to have it for exercise. If you can be out there and have a ministry and that's what you feel like God wants you to do, fine. But you decide. See, and you better think that one through. And how can you graciously say no when you get home? Because you better get some answers ready, because you will be faced with this. I'm not trying to paint a picture. You go home this summer and it's no fun. You know, Bible, nose in the Bible, six nights a week. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that you really better give some thoughts to have you use it. Because you know what happens every summer? What happens? The summer's gone before you know it. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's been true of every summer of my life since I was old enough to remember. Boy, the summer passes so fast. Well, you know, I got a sneaking suspicion that 1972 will be the same. So it's going to be gone before you know it. So think through what you really want to accomplish. Now, be careful about the busy, you know, being so busy with the old friends. And one thing I'd say to some of you that are new Christians, when you get home, the first time you're with them, let them know where you stand. Last night, Jim Files, some of you may know Jim, but Jim played ball here, went up and played with New York, and I think the first year he was up there, second year he's starting linebacker for the New York Giants, which doesn't happen real often with a linebacker. And Jim was a Christian, but he really didn't have a real walk with the Lord. But once he began to let guys know where he stand, he began to see some guys kind of dropping away. And like now, the other night, a group of them go out and they play a charity ball game, and some of them go have a beer. And, you know, he said, they're still my friends, but in the essence of what he's saying is, I've decided to go a different route. He said, even the guys on the team, they go out to drink a beer, and they always bring me a Dr. Pepper, Coke, because they know that, see, he's running up his flag. And what you need to do when you get home on your little ship is just hoist your flag. It says, I'm a Christian, and that's the way it is. And I don't mean turn people off, but you go out with the buddies, you're a new Christian, and here's old buddies you used to drink with, and unless you let them know right away that your life has been changed, that you're going a different route, then you're going to be in tempting situations. If you let them know you're a Christian and that God's done some work in your heart, then likely you're not going to be in situations in which it's going to be real embarrassing to you, because they'll probably stay away from it, or at least they'll know where you stand. If you go home and, you know, kind of the idea, well, I hope they don't find out I'm a Christian, you're going to really have, you know, you'll really have some problems with your friends. I want to mention another area. Not that I'm against it, but an area in which you better really watch it this summer. And that is in the area of dating. Because I know fellas where I went to school, they look forward to the summer for that reason. They could date a great deal more. They didn't have to study. So they spent a great deal of time dating in the summer. And I think you ought to decide what your goal is. Is your objective this summer to see if you can go out about 6 nights out of 7? Or is it to really get into the Word of God? And some of you that you went back, you had real problems in the flesh when you were dating in high school. And unless you're a rare bird, I'm talking to every single individual here, if you've dated at all in high school, you had problems. If you didn't have any, see me afterwards. Because if this was a pattern of your life, most of you had some problems. I'm not saying that you were as wicked as you could be. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that you have a sneaking suspicion that if Jesus had walked up in person right there and stood there while you were doing what you would have been doing, you would have quit. So if you wouldn't, fine. I'm not talking to you. But most of you had problems back along the way. When you go home this summer, you can fall into those same old pitfalls that you were in one time before. And some of you no longer have a desire to walk in that way. And I would encourage you to really be careful at that point. I did not say do not date. I am saying that if you do not watch out, it'll take a great deal of your time. Plus, you will be exposing yourself to some real problems. And so make it a prayerful thing. Let me just share one illustration with you. And I do it hoping you'll catch a point. I went home one summer. That summer, as I mentioned, I spent most of the time just trying to read and study, because that's what I felt like I needed. And so I did not date. I don't guess I had a date all summer. I went home the next summer. One night in training union, we were talking about witnessing. And one girl was very, very interested. She happened to be the cutest girl there, I thought. Well, you know, I know myself well enough to know that, you know, that could be a problem. And so I prayed about asking her for a date. And when we were talking about witnessing, some of the kids didn't act like they could, you know, cared very much about it. But she was really asking some serious questions. And so I prayed about it. And that night, when I left, Mom said she knew I had a date with her. And as I prayed about it, I felt peace about asking her for a date. And so when I left the house that night, Mom said, where are you going? And I said, I'm not sure. I told her I had a date. She knew that. She said, well, are y'all going to a show or what? And I said, well, we might, but I don't know. I really hope we'll get the chance to talk about something we were talking about in training. And so Mom said, son, let me tell you something. That was the summer. I'd been visiting some time with this other boy, and we'd had a tremendous spiritual fellowship. And so she said, girls are different. They don't like to sit around and read the Bible all the time, like you and that Palmer. And so I said, Mama, you know, I'm aware of that. And so I went up there that night and I picked her up, and she got in the car. And I prayed about going up there. I said, Lord, maybe, you know, maybe Mom's right. Maybe I'm just out of balance and, you know, But I really want my date life. I want to be able to talk on my date life about what I talk about at other times. I don't suddenly see why, because you got a date, you suddenly knock off a spiritual and talk about something else. That doesn't seem real. That's just as fakey as the other way. And so that night, going up there, I prayed. And I said, God, I don't know what we ought to do tonight. And maybe this is not the way to do it, but I didn't know any better. And so I said, God, I'll just ask her really what she would like to do. So I picked her up. I got in the car and I said, would you like to go to a movie? You like to just go get something to drink or talk? She said, well, you know what I'd really like to do? She said, I'd like for us to continue talking about what we were talking about the other night. And so that night we drove around, we visited, we talked about the Lord, about some of the things he'd been teaching me, and God did a tremendous work that night. When I went back and parked in front of the house, pulled up in front of the girl's house, she began to cry. I didn't know what the deal was, and she said, you know, you never know what the deal is for sure, probably, but that night as we sat there, her father had been killed in a car in the service when she was small. She was a very attractive girl, so ever since she was old enough to begin to date, fellows began to hang around. Her dad had been killed several months before, and her stepdad had been killed in a car accident. And this girl, when that happened, she had gone to Texas Tech. And during this time, she really began to have some questions about what life was all about. And one night, one of her friends, a roommate or someone, invited her to go to the Baptist Student Union. And so she went, and she said, I was hungry. Said, I wanted some meaning in my life. And so she went to the BSU, and the BSU president asked her for a date. And she thought, hot ziggity dog, this is tremendous. Because here he is the spiritual leader. You know, he's the president, everybody looks to him for leadership. And boy, this will be great. I can share with him some of the doubts and some of the problems I've had. And she said, you know, Max, said we went out that night, and he wanted just exactly what all the other guys I dated wanted. And you know, that night, when she went in, I thought, God, this is right. It's right for me to set my priorities and spend time with you. And that night as I prayed, I thought, God, eventually you will lead me to a person who's interested in what I'm interested in. So you don't have to go home this summer and beat the bushes and check them all out in order to find the kind of girl God has for you. Another big problem you'll face will be the TV. I know in the home when I lived, it goes on when Dad comes in, it goes off when he goes to bed. The way you know when he's in bed is when the TV's off. And here again, I'm not being critical of the opportunities which he's had for spiritual growth. But in the house where we lived, if it's on in the living room, you could hear it in the bedroom because it wasn't that big a house. And I can remember many, many nights sitting in there trying to read my Bible and could hear what was going on. And the first thing you know, I'd be involved in that thing. I couldn't see it, but I could tell what was going on. But, you know, most of my life, there was, before TV came popular, such thing known as radio. And you didn't see that. You just listened. And I could hear it through the walls. And there's time, in order to get fellowship with them, I would watch something because that's where they were. But at the same time, you really better watch that and get aside some time. Maybe you'd want to go to the library or something, but find a place where you can study. I went up to see my buddy one night, knocked on the door, and his mom came to the door, this fellow I'd been meeting with, and I said, is Palmer here? And she said, yeah, he's back in his monastery. And that's what she called it. So I go back there. They don't even know him. He didn't even know I was there, and they're in there watching television. I go back there and walk in. Oh, man, I found the greatest verse. And, you know, he was just having a ball. But this will be a real problem when you get home this summer, because likely at your home, the average American, as I mentioned to some of you before, the average American spends 17 3/4 hours a week watching television. That's the average for every man, woman, boy, and girl in America. 17 3/4 hours, that's 6 nights a week for 3 hours. And so you'll need to really watch that. It'll take a lot of your time. And as some of you have heard me say before, I don't care if it's how bees make honey or how they make steel in Pittsburgh. It may be very educational, but it may not be that important as to your own relationship with God. If you have a program, something your parents enjoy watching, you want to select one program or two a week to watch. But if you don't watch out, you go in and watch a 30-minute program, you get up 2 hours later. Watch the area of laziness. I mentioned this to some of you at noonday. If you get up at a certain time on Friday morning, you can get up at that time on Saturday morning. And I know one summer we had a training program. By the time some of the people got up on Saturday morning, this guy had already he'd already done his laundry, he had washed his car, he had many things going. By the time they got out of bed, he'd already done a half day's work. He just said, "I've learned a very simple thing. I can get up the same time on Saturday I get up every other day of the week." Okay, let's pray together. Father, thank you. Together, something to say to each of us. And Father, the life which you've given us is very brief. And you tell us in Psalms 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And Father, our time upon this earth is brief, and the summer will come and go, and yet this summer could count for eternity. And I'd pray that you'd help us to be flexible and yet to be firm with some plans to figure out where we're going and how we're planning to get there, and really use our time wisely. And Father, I'd pray that we'd come back next year really prepared, having grown spiritually, and really ready to have a ministry on this campus. For we have asked it in Jesus' name. Amen.